You're driving south on Highway 20, past miles of farms and cornfields. Everything's completely straight and flat. Suddenly, screaming by on the left, a burst of color, an ancient wooden filling station completely covered with hundreds and hundreds of old signs, a single antique gas pump out front.
Listen, people drive down that highway and they say, what did we see back there? We better go back and see. We see something we've never seen before. Back they come and they'll stay 2 and 3 hours with me. That's no kidding.
What they saw is Preston's filling station. Who they meet is George Preston, proprietor of the station and Lincoln Highway historian. What they get is an earful.
I like to talk.
Oh, yes, he does.
There isn't a town on the Lincoln Highway from coast to coast that I can't tell you a story about it. And I'll tell you another thing.
George Preston holds court from a worn cushioned rocking chair inside his station. He's a jowly, toothless 82-year-old in a stained and untucked paisley button-down shirt. There are even flies circling his head.
And I kept every oil can that was ever sold on the Lincoln Highway. I know every gas.
The inside of George Preston's filling station is as impressive as the outside. Shelves cluttered with cobwebbed mementos of the old highway. Walls covered with rusty license plates and photographs and maps.
I got a lot of the Bermachet signs. The Bermachet signs, the first one I can remember, the man who drives when he's been drinking depends on you to do his thinking, Bermachet. Then I got another one. The car was in the ditch and the man was in the tree.
Among the many signs on the walls of this filling station is one that reads, gas, 14 cents a gallon. That, says George Preston, is what he charged when he first started working here back in 1923.
I was 13 years old.
It was the same year that the Lincoln Highway was completed, stretching from Broadway and 42nd Street in New York City to Lincoln Park on the Pacific Ocean in San Francisco. It had taken 10 years to pave the entire route, which passed through 13 states. George Preston says that when road construction crews initially came into towns like Belle Plaine, Iowa, they were met with a good deal of resistance.
Some people booed them. Some people wanted them to be thrown in jail because they said, why would we want pavement? We're used to dirt roads.
When the road was finally built, it gave Americans their first chance to drive cross-country without getting stuck in the mud, although America's main street was almost immediately swallowed up by the country's rapidly expanding network of paved roads. By 1927, the highway was no more.
When the Lincoln Highway left, I started thinking, well, I better start picking up stuff and keeping it, so I did.
Today, George Preston's collection of Lincoln Highway memorabilia fills up his gas station and overflows into his garage next door, which has been converted into a makeshift museum, haphazardly crammed with dusty glass display cases. There are rag wringers from an auto laundry, that's what car washes were once called, tires that George Preston used to nail on cars. There are camping stoves from the days before motels, when the only roadside accommodations were called tent cities. George Preston and his father ran one of those behind this gas station.
We charged 50 cents a day for a family.
How do you remember all this?
Well, I talked so much to people, I can't forget it.
Howdy.
Come on in.
Indeed, when he's not snoozing in his chair, George Preston spends the balance of his day talking to the curious who stop in to see what the filling station is all about. George stopped pumping gas here nearly a decade ago so he could devote himself more fully to his favorite pastime.
Well, here's every candy that was sold on the Lincoln Highway, and I got every one of them. Dim your lights behind that car, let them folks know how bright you are. The one who drives when he's been drinking.
George's spontaneous Bermashave eruptions are frequent. He's been known to talk to visitors for hours on end, sometimes even longer.
I had a guy stay 4 days with me one time. That's no kidding. Come over here, lady, read this to me.
Don't forget the yellow goggles and driving west. You face the sun all afternoon, and the glare of the western desert is hard on the eyes.
Could I tell you one story in there? And always take two pairs of shoes with you.
Two pair.
It can sometimes be difficult to get out of George Preston's filling station. There's a lot of history here, and George wants to make sure you've heard it all, at least twice. But no one really seems to mind. After all, it's not every day you get to spend time with the proprietor of the last filling station on the country's first coast-to-coast highway.
The first oil sold on the Lincoln Highway was called the Lincoln Highway Oil.
Wow. Well, we'll let these folks come in and look around.
Come on in.
It's really interesting. Thank you for your stories.
Thank you a lot.
For National Public Radio, I'm David Isay.
I'll tell you what I got. I got over 50,000 stories of the Lincoln Highway. That's what I actually got. I can tell you every oil station, where they was, from coast.